What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, joined by our pal Michael Leboff at the Big Lebowski from the Action Network. And great timing, Mike. We have a partnership announced this morning between the Action Network and the NHL. Excited to officially have you guys on board. I mean, you guys have been coming on the show for a long time here, but we appreciate it and we're excited to partner up.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's something we've been working towards at Action for a while, and it really just speaks to kind of like the fan experience now in sports, right? Like, people want to be invested in watching games, whether it's playing fantasy or a little betting or whatever, and we're happy to kind of help bridge the gap and between what people are seeing on TV or what they're reading about, and how to use that information to make wise decisions, to make better decisions as a better, and also have some fun while doing it. And yeah, I think this podcast has been a big step in getting towards, getting the T's crossed and the I's dotted on that deal. So, I'm really excited, and hopefully it just continues to grow.
Yeah, so throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, Action Network will have an article on NHL.com. You can find it there. Mike, if you want to just tell us a little bit about what to expect in that article, maybe tease some little teasers up what to expect.
Yeah, I think, I look at it more as a, like I said, like kind of like bridging the gap, like for people who are at any stage of, whether they don't bet, whether they're betting curious, whether they bet all the time and are just maybe getting into hockey. I kind of am writing for these articles for everybody, right? Like, I want people to see what my process is without just, writing a bullet point. This is how I do this. This is how I do that. Right. I'm just sizing up a matchup, showing the numbers that I think matter the most to that matchup, why the price is where it is. And then, leaving the decision to the reader. Because I think that's, I'm never here to judge anyone for making a bet, whether they want to lay -300 on the Avalanche, against the Kings, or if they want to take a shot on a big underdog like the Senators. Like, I'm never going to judge anyone for how they want to bet. I'm just here to kind of, spill out the information, show what stats I look at, what stats are, more predictive than descriptive. And also, I think one of the biggest things I'm trying to do is to teach people that, betting isn't picking winners, right? It's it all comes down to probability and what -140 means, right? That doesn't mean that this team is going to win. It means that this team should win, 57-ish% of the time. And if you think that that's true, then, or if you think their winning percentage is more than that, then you have some value on that team. And then obviously vice versa on the other side. So just kind of stuff like that as we get into, the business end of the semifinals and then into the Stanley Cup, which, I mean, there's nothing better than betting on the Stanley Cup finals. So it's a pretty exciting time for us at Action.
For sure, man. And I see you guys are doing some hockey talk on the channels, of course, like Euro and stuff like that, everything else going on, NBA playoffs. So it's a busy time, but you guys are covering all the bases for sure. Everybody should go out there, follow Action Network HQ on Twitter and the different social platforms, and download their app as well. It's really good, where you can see all the information there. You can read Mike's previews for the NHL and different sports, and you can track Mike's bets, which I think is a really cool wrinkle. We've mentioned it on this show before, Mike, but I mean, what kind of sports besides hockey are you into on there? What kind of picks are you dishing out on a regular basis before we get to all the series here?
Yeah, weirdly, hockey and soccer, I feel like, are very, symbiotic, where there's a weird kind of just relationship in the betting, where it's, they're low event games, right? Like, every goal matters a lot. So, and they're one of the biggest predictive stats in both sports is expected goals and chance creation and stuff like that. So those are the two sports that, I'm usually tracking in the app. And those are two sports I've been having success in, throughout my time, betting and my time in Action. I mean, I will track my other bets. Like, I'm a terrible NFL bettor. So don't, when you see me betting an NFL game, I don't think you should run to the window to bet it. Maybe you should run to the window to bet the other side. I love betting college football too. A little bit more success there, but we have folks that, not just tailing or tracking, but folks that you can just learn from. And I think that's the biggest part of betting is, you want to like shorten that education part, the education part obviously lasts forever, but that like kind of tuition part where you are maybe making mistakes here and there. And losing some bets. You want to shorten that as best you can. And by the best way to do that is just learn from experts. And those experts could be people at Action Network or people you think have, you know, good analytical minds and in other media platforms. It's just, if you are able to do that, you're going to be ahead of the game and learn what matters and what doesn't to a spread, to a money line, et cetera. As soon as you start to kind of figure that kind of stuff out, like you're going to set yourself up for success much better than you would by just throwing things at the wall, which can be fun sometimes, but it's if you're in it for the long haul, it's not going to work out, unfortunately.
Well, what matters in hockey betting is even strength scoring. We saw Tampa Bay break through in game two against the New York Islanders. But I'll say this, gentlemen, I'm impressed that the Islanders got one. I think that was huge for them to split that. You know, they go back home to Nassau, where they definitely have home ice advantage, one of the best ones remaining in the playoffs. So I'm happy to see, you know, the Islanders split. But I will say, honestly, I am a little concerned. You know, when Palat got that goal last night, I felt that was the one that they kind of needed, you know, breath of fresh air, sigh of relief type of goal where, okay, this is our even strength offense. I think they're going to start rolling there. And I picked Tampa in six, but I hope Islanders can take it that far. But it feels like Tampa might lay down the horses here, Petey.
I think the Islanders will take it to at least six. I've been encouraged by their play, even that, you know, the first period last night, they were outplayed a little bit and they came out of it even. You know, of course, it went off the rails a little bit in the third period, but I was encouraged by what I saw, even when Varlamov got injured, like Sorokin came in and didn't allow a goal. That's the steady type of play that you can expect. And don't be surprised if we see Sorokin again in the series, because it wouldn't be shocking at all if Tampa Bay at some point, even if it's games 4 and 5, they're probably going to win consecutive games at some point in this series. And the Isles may have to make a move just to change things up. So encouraging signs across the board. They did what they needed to do, Mike. And now you got three games coming up in the Coliseum, games 3, 4, and 6. If they win those three games, the Isles are going to the cup final and there's not much the Lightning can do about it, right?
Yeah, it's as an Islander fan, as a long suffering Islander fan, it's pretty still surreal to hear. Yeah, I was encouraged. I think, you know, you look at the expected goals for the two games and the Islanders actually had the lion's share of it. And it wasn't a dominant performance of 5-on-5, but by any stretch. I mean, I think game one, you could definitely say was, but even game two, they created more expected goals than the Lightning at 5-on-5 and in all situations. The problem was the Islanders, and I think the key word, Pete, you said it, right, was off the rails. That game got off the rails. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but by the Islanders' standards, it got off the rails. They need to keep things predictable. They need to keep things manageable. Because if the Lightning, I mean, there were 9 power plays in that game total, 5 for the Lightning, 4 for the Islanders. You're not going to beat the Lightning in that kind of game. And the Islanders actually had a decent penalty kill effort, keeping Tampa to just 1 for 5. But if you give Tampa Bay 5 power plays in a game, you can just basically shut it down and go home. So the Islanders definitely have some kinks to work out. But like we've seen throughout this whole playoffs, yeah, this Wednesday night will be the Islanders' 15th game of the postseason. They've been the underdog in 14 games already. Like, so they've already been the underdog in every game. They were, you know, maybe slight favorites at some sports books for one of the Penguins games. But we have a tool called Bet Labs. I think it's now called Action Labs, where we track every closing line across basically every sport. And according to Action Labs, the Islanders have been the underdog in every single one of their playoff games. So it's a wild thing to think, but it's another, like, I mean, it's just this team, really, market setters and bookmakers still having a tough time to figure out. And I still think the prices in the series, as from what we saw in games 1 and 2 and what we're looking at so far for game 3, I'm seeing them at like plus 120-ish. I think it'll only go up because we know that the money will always come in against the Islanders. They're going to be another viable bet again going forward for the series. And I think that if you stick with them, they'll end up paying off. And I actually do think that this series is much closer to a coin flip than not only the odds suggest, but most people around hockey believe.
Well, it's interesting too, because when you look at the stats for the Tampa Bay Lightning, like look at Kucherov, who's been dominant this postseason, but 15 of his 22 points have come on the man advantage. Look at Victor Hedman as well. 10 of his 13 points have come on the power play. So when you look at those two numbers, it's staggering how impressive that is. But at the same time, like, they need to drill that down. We got to be, you know, matching the Islanders at 5-on-5 play. And that's why I was kind of encouraged by the little breakthrough they had, you know, last night. Just, I think that's going to make the difference for them in this series. And it wouldn't surprise me if they win the next three games in a row. Like, I think the next game is absolutely crucial for the Islanders. I know they're a good response team, and I know that they can, you know, get down from any situation and play through adversity. But I really have a feeling if the Islanders lose this next game, the first one at Nassau, Petey, that they're going to be in trouble and they will ultimately lose the series.
Well, look at, let's go back to the previous rounds, right? They lost the game threes and then they had to bounce back just to send it back and even things up. I mean, if they win game three, they might win game four too. And that's the way that you're going to beat the Lightning. If you keep trading wins and then go to game seven, probably not going to beat the Lightning. That's just my hunch on it. But if you put them in a 3-1 series hole, that's one thing that, I mean, Carolina and Florida, as well as those teams played against the Lightning at 5-on-5, you can make the argument, especially the Panthers, were the better team at 5-on-5 throughout the series. And even the Canes as well, they held their own. And some of those games, they were much better at 5-on-5, but they could never even tie the series. They could never take a lead. The Islanders took a lead and they did their job. Now they have a chance to really separate themselves because of that advantage at 5-on-5. So that's what I'm looking at. This is the opportunity, games 3 and 4, to take command of the series. If they do so, they put the Lightning on their heels and they could actually finish them off, you know, in probably 6 games or something once it comes back to the Coliseum. So that's kind of best case scenario. That's how I could see them actually winning the series. It's the only way.
You're probably right. Like, you can even think about it from, you know, a betting perspective, right? If they game six, let's just say project out, that the odds for that will probably be very reflective of what they are in game three, +120. If it goes to game seven, that'll be in Tampa and the odds will be much more reflective of what it would be, what we saw in games 1 and 2, where the Lightning were around -200. So the betting market is telling you that Tampa just has a much better chance of winning that game than they would at Nassau Coliseum. So you're probably right. Like, they got to, you know, kind of get some separation from this team, much more so than they did with Boston and Pittsburgh, who didn't have that kind of catch-up power that the Lightning have.
So who are you taking in game three? I've got the Bullets. I'm just going to ride them through this one, but it sounds like we might have a little love for the Isles here.
I like the Isles in game three to reverse the trend from the first two rounds. And I mean, assuming Varlamov is healthy, he'll probably still get the call in game three, but, you know, he's been sharp in many games at home and I have a lot of confidence in him dating back to last postseason. I think we're looking at him less as the inconsistent, maddening goalie that he was earlier in his career. And now he's like more of a stable force and a Conn Smythe candidate. So and Barzal's been great as well. He's got 8 points in his past 7 games or something like that. And really stepping it up at the right time. So yeah, Barzal scored goals in both of the first 2 games of the series. When your best players are performing at their highest level at the most important time of year, I know Varley had a little disappointing game, but he was pulled from the game and then it went awry a little bit, but I expect a bounce back from Varlamov and I expect the home crowd to really be a difference maker here. You know, much more than it's going to be in the other series when it shifts back to Bell Center. Unfortunately, I don't know that that's really going to help the Habs that much unless they can get more fans in there. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking for the Isles. Isles win game three and then, you know, the big challenge would be game four.
Yeah, I think from a betting perspective, I like the price on New York. Already, I think, you know, you're getting them +120 at home. It's just about where they were for the Bruins games. So I think if you think about Tampa and Boston, especially what we thought about Boston going into that series, they're basically on even footing. So, the Tampa's definitely more likely to win. As an Islander fan, I'm happy to admit that. The betting market tells us that too. But one thing I want to note is that, just like in that Bruins series, the top of the lineup is cooking for the Lightning, but it's that middle six that still isn't really going yet. And you can't win games against the Islanders like that either, because they're the bottom of their roster always is always going, and that's how they beat teams, right? They grind you down with their depth, and if you can't beat them forwards four through 12, you're going to have trouble. And the Lightning haven't really found that game yet. It was Kucherov and Point and Palat in game two. So it's, I mean, there are encouraging signs for both teams, by the way. Like, it's not just the Islanders. Like, the Lightning, there are a lot of encouraging signs for them. Vasilevsky was great basically in both games. One, you know, goal against the Pollock shot. But other than that, he's been really good and is obviously a field leveler or a big separator for the Lightning. So I mean, it's just a toss up, which is honestly a huge push for the Islanders, like turning a series against the Lightning into a 50-50 battle, or at least close to it, is a big win for New York.
In the other series, we saw Montreal's 7-game winning streak in the playoff come to a halt. Carey Price allowed 4 goals in their defeat against the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, this series, gentlemen, is one to me that I feel is it is over. It's okay to declare that. It's bold. Yes, it's only been one game, but I think you just saw with Vegas, when their defense starts scoring, Montreal is going to be in a whole lot of trouble. We saw that Shea Theodore finally broke through there. Alec Martinez has been tremendous, you know, as kind of a sneaky guy in the playoffs. And Pietrangelo, from a DFS perspective, has been one of the best players in all of the postseason in terms of category coverage. He's racking up some points now. So I'm just not sure how Montreal is going to respond here. I would absolutely take the Vegas Golden Knights and favor them in the second game. That's not a bold prediction, but I think this one is definitely over. It's just a matter of whether it's 4 games or 5 games.
I think Pietrangelo, who you mentioned, I mean, he had 7 shots and 3 blocks the last game. He had been previously chipping in points on a regular basis. I mean, as they kind of skyrocket up the odds board, they're the biggest favorite right now to win the cup, probably because they have the clearest path to get there. But also, they're a very seasoned team, an experienced team for only being in their 4th year of existence. But like, you see Fleury at the top of the Conn Smythe leaderboard right now. Stone is up there as well. You know, some of their secondary guys. But really, over the course of the postseason, if Pietrangelo continues to outperform the opposition and then has a monster series in the cup final against either the Islanders or the Lightning, I mean, last year a defenseman won the Conn Smythe. I'm sure you could get some great odds, Mike, on Alex Pietrangelo to win playoff MVP. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely interesting, right? Like, I think as a hockey society, I'd say we're starting to appreciate defensemen and especially not just you know, the Victor Hedman types or the guys who are, you know, the Sheldon Soares of old, like the guys who are just pumping in, you know, 17 to 25 goals a season. Like, we're starting to appreciate the all-around guys, and Pietrangelo is definitely one of them. And he's just come on like wildfire the past, you know, 2 weeks or so. He was dominant against the Avalanche and has continued that. So he's definitely one if you want to. I mean, I have a feeling that if the Knights win at this point, it'll probably be Fleury just because of the story. Remember, human beings are voting. But I mean, definitely one, if he continues to play like this and then has another good series, especially when you're playing a team, like if they play Tampa, if you're able to keep Nikita Kucherov and his pals off the board, like the defenseman is going to get at least a little bit of shine. I wouldn't be opposed to that. As far as, like, you know, Rob, I know you're very bullish on the Knights and they're very likely to win this series. The prices are just too high on Montreal, I think, though. Like, I think from a betting perspective, you're getting 2-1 on a team that, they played all right, especially that first. They should have been up a couple goals in that first 10 minutes against Vegas the other night. And they looked all right at 5-5 as soon as they started to take penalties. That's when they got in trouble. And like the Islanders, they're deep enough to stay with teams. And Vegas's forecheck gave him all sorts of trouble, and if they can get Jeff Petrie into the lineup, that should hopefully mute that advantage a little bit. But I think that this team, since adding, you know, Cole Caulfield into the lineup, has turned into just like a little bit more dangerous. They used to be like a team that could stick with you at 5-on-5, and it would just depend on if they could finish or not. And now that they have finishing talent basically throughout their lineup, they're just more dangerous and their upside's a little bit higher. And when you have depth and that kind of upside at +210 I'm seeing right now. I think it's just, you know, it's hard to look away from that number. Will they win? And probably not, but it's just, it's a good number, good enough number for me to get involved.
I think game two is maybe the last hope for them to get back in the series. I just don't see the series go deeper than five, maybe, if they lose game two. But yeah, game two, Price stands on his head, sends it back to Montreal, tied 1-1. You start having a completely different conversation tomorrow morning, right? I mean, that's just how this cookie crumbles every single time. We get super high on one team. Remember, we were super high after one game on Colorado, and that seems like ancient history now. So that's just how I'm feeling, trying to step back and look at this thing and know that Montreal has been a great team this postseason. They have the depth, like you said, to hang with anybody on a single game basis. Remember, I'm not saying Montreal is going to win the series. They're likely not, but they could win game two. I know they're capable of that. And based on the postseason at large, Robbie, right? Like, nothing would shock us anymore. And certainly not Montreal bouncing back with the best netminder in the league come postseason time lately in Carey Price.
No, I can't argue with that. And it's true. If you're going to pick one goalie for one game, you're taking Carey Price. But Marc-Andre Fleury is making a better case for that right now. And he's made a better case for that the past couple seasons, dating back to when they got to the Stanley Cup final against the Capitals. He was tremendous then, too. And I think you're just seeing a really polished team here, a really well-coached team. And Mike, you mentioned, too, you know, Montreal did have a good start to that game. You know, they got some good quality chances, but Vegas can just respond so much more, you know, with a lethal punch than with Montreal provides. And I think you saw it, you know, with their depth scoring. Vegas has six guys with at least four goals. And it's like, when I'm making a DFS lineup or doing picks on NHL.com/fantasy, like, we're looking at Carlson, we're looking at Marchessault, we're flipping a coin for Tuck now. And it's like, it doesn't matter which one you have. They're probably all getting on the scoreboard eventually. It's just a matter of which game it's going to be. And I think for Montreal, we're just going to see them come up a little bit short. It's been a tremendous run, but I do think they are at a disadvantage right now, having only played those teams in the North Division, you know. And honestly, where this Vegas conversation shifted for me was that Mark Stone overtime goal against the Avalanche. You just felt that that was their moment. This is the big game. And so whatever the price is, that's fine, but I'm not touching it for Montreal. I think Vegas is winning this in four games. They just look like such a complete team. And it's more of a conversation to me, who's going to be a better matchup for them or a tougher matchup for them. I don't see really anybody beating them right now, especially if the Lightning continue to play a little bit more anemic style at even strength.
Yeah, I mean, when we get there, I think it'll be interesting to see where that series, if it is Tampa and Vegas, where it opens, right? Because I think 2 weeks ago they would have said Tampa would be the favorite, and now I think it's pretty certain that Vegas would be the favorite in that matchup. So it's the Knights, just they're a complete team. I think we probably underrated them throughout the regular season, not just us, but everybody, because of what we were seeing from Colorado and what we were expecting to see from them in the playoffs. So they're just cooking right now at the right time. They're well coached. The forecheck is ferocious. The big thing too for me was the, like you said, when you're playing teams in the North Division, you have time and space in the neutral zone, because usually the other team's going the other way. You get the puck, you're going the other way in transition. It's a much more of a transition game up there than it was with basically every other division. So the Canadians aren't getting any of that time. They're getting, you know, basically bogged down in the neutral zone by a team that will get the puck, chip it right back in, and go to work with their forecheck. And that's going to wear you down over a series too. We saw a lot of that with the Islanders and Bruins, and the Islanders and Penguins too. Like the Islanders eventually just wore down both those teams with their forecheck, and the Knights are probably just a better version of the Islanders. So they're a really tough team to beat in. As long as Fleury, we never know with goalies, right? Marc-Andre Fleury could come out and lay a dud tonight and then continue to struggle. You just never know with goaltending. Same goes for Carey Price. If he continues to play well, then it's really hard to pick against the Knights. But, you know, the 2-1 is just, it's just, the odds are just too good. And not a fun bet, not fun stepping in front of a team that's won, 100 games in a row, it feels like. So I'm just going to, you know, step in front of that bus and you know, either take the pain or maybe, you know, get a little lucky with Montreal.
Well, Vegas has eight guys, PD, with at least seven even strength points. Eight guys. Tampa Bay has one. Montreal has one. I mean, they are in another class right now. I haven't seen anything like this. They're by pound for pound the best team in the playoffs.
Right. And yeah, I saw 9 guys have at least 8 points on the roster, including a couple of defensemen, a couple of third liners. Alex Tuck, if you're playing DFS, he's back in the groove with a 3-game point streak. Janmark has had a really nice postseason. We got to start mentioning that trade as one of the sneakiest before the deadline this season, coming over from Chicago. It was a total afterthought. We saw it pop up on deadline day. It was just a throw-in type of thing to, you know, put on top of all the other trades that day. But it ended up being really significant because he had the hat trick in Game 7 against the Wild, scored again in the opener against Montreal, and quietly has 8 points the postseason. So really strong play by him as well. And yeah, back to Fleury. I mean, I think we've moved away from any talk about them having the best tandem because Fleury has just wowed us to the point, like going 9-4, 927 save percentage and a shutout. Remember, I mean, with him being the top candidate for the Conn Smythe based on the odds right now, that would be his 4th Stanley Cup of his career. And how much the narrative has shifted from him just being a product of Crosby and Malkin and Letang. I mean, that's laughable at this point, right? He's been their best player for years. Last year, they lost in the playoffs because he wasn't playing as much. They were playing Leonard even more with everything going on. But Marc-Andre Fleury is solidifying his legacy as we speak as arguably the best active goaltender in the league.
Which team do you think retires his number first?
Pittsburgh will probably try to. They might be hanging in Vegas first. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if they win the cup, Mike, there's no question it's going to be Vegas. I don't want to get too far ahead, though. I do think Montreal deserves credit here, you know, for getting to this point. They're a quality team. They're ahead of where they should be on paper, which is tremendous, you know, as an organizational standpoint. Cole Caulfield getting his first goal in the postseason is huge. I mean, he's going to be one of the most intriguing right wings in fantasy next year. There's no doubt about that. So I do want to have some praise for them. Jeff Petrie, who's a game time decision tonight, everything kind of hinges on that for me if he can't suit up and play. Now we should play devil's advocate here. He only has 3 points in 10 postseason games compared to having a tremendous regular season. So Montreal would certainly benefit, you know, if they can get some perimeter scoring in this series. You know, I hope it's a tight game tonight. I hope the two goalies kind of go head to head here and lock things down and play a tight game. That would be the best, I think, for the Habs. It would really benefit them, but I just don't see this going beyond 4 games, 5 at the absolute most.
Yeah, and I know the defenseman scoring became such a big storyline the last game, but I mean, you look at what Shea Weber has not really been able to do this postseason. No goals, 3 assists in 12 games. Petrie hurt his finger in the corner, I guess, with the camera hole or whatever. I mean, that's just unfortunate for Montreal. But even when Petrie was healthy, like you said, it's like the scoring hasn't been coming from the back end. And you see 3 of the 4 goals from Vegas coming from defensemen. Alec Martinez is a guy that's won the cup before, seems super motivated and fired up on a nightly basis. And that provides even more of a disadvantage against Montreal.
So before we wrap up here, let's just talk about an interesting coaching hire in the NHL. Gallant is back. He's with the New York Rangers. I really, really reacted positively to seeing this news, Mike. Obviously, you know, as an Islanders fan, I don't know if you're loving this, but I think the division, I mean, it's just really shaping up for the future to be the New York Islanders and the New York Rangers kind of going head to head as the top 2 teams in the division. I think this is great from a fantasy lens. Obviously, you got the big 3 with Zibanejad, Panarin, and Fox. Those are solidified, you know, top 50, top 55 guys. But beyond that, I think it's going to benefit one of Kaapo Kakko or Alexis Lafreniere, you know, one of those guys to really take the next step and stay there where they had a little problems with Coach Quinn, maybe not getting the right role. So I'm excited for this. I think you guys are too, probably.
As an Islander fan, I want to say I'm excited because I thought the move was good. A little frustrating, but I think, you know, from a betting perspective, the Metro is going to be really interesting next year because Columbus obviously is looking at a little bit of a rebuild. The Flyers, who knows with them. And then you got the Devils, who kind of are the lights at the end of the tunnel, but probably not there, especially in a tough division. Pittsburgh, Washington, both a year older, didn't get out of round 1 again. Then the Islanders are just, you know, obviously the Islanders at this point. So the division's there for the taking, but it's going to come down to that, the depth for the Rangers. Like we saw with them this season, when the going got tough, like they had a little bit of issues. That the games against the Islanders really stuck out to me at the end of the season. They had a chance to sneak their way into the playoffs, and the Islanders kind of just grinded them down. And if you can't play that style of hockey, you're going to have trouble in the playoffs. And I think Gallant is the perfect guy to kind of mold that team in that image. And I also, like we saw with before the last season, the Rangers caught a lot of hype from the betting market. They're a very glitzy team. They're a big market team that usually leads to people betting on them. So there's very rarely value on a team like the Rangers. It's kind of like the Dallas Cowboys in football or whatever. If a team is that popular, that big, there people will bet them and whatever. And with their star power, it becomes more so. And the Gallant move is very encouraging. So I could see them like opening in like the 20, 25 to one range to win the Stanley Cup next year, which is incredibly low, I think, for them, because I still think they have some issues, but they obviously do have the top of the talent, top of the roster talent, and now the coaching to make good on those odds. But it's, I just think if they're, 50 to one, maybe they'd be interesting, but I'm assuming they're going to be, pretty inflated just because of who they are, who they have on their team, and what they've done with the coaching now.
I mean, it was amazing that Gallant hasn't coached in like 2 years, right? Like since that 1 year where he got fired by mid-season by Vegas when they replaced him with DeBoer. I mean, it's a wonder that he was still available for the Rangers at this point. I think a lot of people were thinking, maybe Kraken or something like that. But I mean, they scooped him up. They were the more attractive option here, because in addition to the guys you mentioned, Robbie, they have Shesterkin as well, who I think is one of the best young goalies in the league, and the guy that worked so well with Fleury when he made the transition to Vegas was Gallant. So that's a great trend, and I think it'll help get the most of Igor Shesterkin. And I can't help but look, I mean, you mentioned it, the Penguins and Capitals have to retool in order to open up the window again for their star players. So therefore, you could very well be looking at, as early as next season, a playoff series between the Islanders and Rangers with Gallant on one side, Shesterkin on the same side, and then Sorokin on the other side with Trotz. And that could be some of the best theater that this league has to offer. So, and I think another young player that could benefit from this, definitely, some of the defensemen, Keandre Miller, I think he's going to have a huge season and build off what he did. Remarkable stuff as a rookie, and Kravtsov as well. And you're going to be seeing a lot more, I think, under Gallant, of the guys like Kravtsov and Kako and Lafreniere. You're going to see them in the top six more often. You're going to see them on the first power play. And therefore, this team, which I think with a wild card being back in the cards for next postseason, going back to the traditional format, the Rangers have to be close to a lock to make the playoffs next year, especially with how things panned out this year.
And they might even be a lock to win a round in that sense, too. When you expand to the Eastern Conference in general, look at the Boston Bruins. I think they're kind of in the Penguins and Caps conversation, where another year, maybe Rask, that situation's a little murky right now. And then the Carolina Hurricanes, too, who we can talk about in another episode. But Dougie Hamilton now is able to talk to teams for a sign and trade. Uh-oh. And Rod Brind'Amour being favored, to sign with the Seattle Kraken as their head coach. I'm not loving that if I'm a Carolina Hurricanes fan right now, okay? Sitting here watching Tampa Bay kind of look like the Harlem Globetrotters, maybe on their way back to another Stanley Cup. So definitely some things to keep an eye on over the summer. But Mike, great to have you on again today, and awesome that we can have Action Network on board throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes, it's a very exciting time. Pretty excited to bet the Habs tonight, probably the Isles tomorrow. So yeah, welcome. If you're new to this, get ready for a little bit of pain, but more fun than pain, I would say. And it's just a new way to enjoy the coolest game on earth and at the best time. I apologize for my dog squeaking his toy right now, but he's excited about the partnership too.
No doubt. So yeah, you can find Mike's Action Network stuff now on NHL.com once again, and there'll be some videos as well as part of the partnership. And of course, Mike and Matt Russell and some of the other colleagues that you guys got covering hockey will certainly be on this podcast, as they have been in the past. So excited to team up once again. So for Rob Reese, Mike Leboff, Pete Jensen, talk to you again next time. We'll be back at you next week, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Hit us up with your questions in the meantime for fantasy, DFS, or betting, and we'll talk to you on the other side.